Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. When you get there, don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Don't forget to check out the over 2,000 archives. Don't forget to check out the hundreds, I don't know how many, 400 or 500 articles that are there. And there's a motivational minute feature there that'll let you read something I think will motivate you a little bit, maybe encourage you, inspire you. It's something you can read in 1 minute, and a lot of other things you can do there. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. You know her very well. She's been with us now every week, virtually every week, with only a few times off for the last 5+ years, and she's our good friend. Is it 5 or 6 years, Joan?
Feels like 7.
Feels like... Time flat. Well, now, Joan, I know you don't really mean it that way, do you? Or do maybe you
Oh,
do.
No. No. Never.
Well, see, it just seems like yesterday to me.
Oh, well, it would.
Being with you is just like, you know, just like a summer vacation.
A walk in the park.
A walk in the park. That's exactly right. Anyway, it's good to have you back. Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, let's get right into the – oh, how are the cicadas doing? You got a cicada report for us?
Well,
are they gone?
There's – you know, I think there's more cicada reports than there are cicadas. I mean, there are a lot of cicadas, but that's all people seem to be able to talk about in the media around here.
So
– I mean, there are people who have horror stories of cicadas just sort of covering their lawns and
– I've heard these stories.
– driveways.
And it, hasn't one family been completely have they completely been obliterated by the cicadas?
Oh, I didn't know that.
I'm surprised. But,
they had a big report on CNN the other day about how when they die, their carcasses start to smell.
Oh, really?
So you get the smell in your yard.
Well,
yeah.
That's a nice olfactory visual we didn't need.
Yeah.
Well, Joan, I'm surprised somebody hasn't done what they used to do. Are you old enough to remember chocolate-covered ants and grasshoppers and bees?
No.
Oh, yeah, they
not.
Used to have those. They may still have them. I'm surprised some enterprising small business entrepreneur hasn't come up with a chocolate-covered
cicadas.
Yeah.
Ugh.
The protein, they're filled with protein.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
It could be part of the South Beach diet, couldn't it?
Ugh. They could. Or Atkins.
Yeah, either one. Hey, Joan, let's talk about the energy prices. Kiplinger says...
Oh, do we have to? I'd rather not.
Kiplinger says the high prices are here to stay. What's going on?
That's right. And, you know, that's the thing. We complain about OPEC and not pumping enough oil, but the real culprit is the demand.
Mm-hmm.
Demand is not going to stop surging because not just are we driving our big SUVs, but you've got other countries that are growing like crazy, such as China and India, and they're going to keep demanding more and more oil.
Well, and I saw a report the other day that showed that pretty much the oil-producing countries were not holding back that much. I mean, they really were that for Saudi Arabia, for Arabia to recently increase their production was not them coming back to any kinds of previous levels. They were having to hump it a little bit to get this out.
But even when they do, I think one of the problems is we've sort of got a bottleneck because oil production, you know, production of oil-based products is not keeping up with the demand for them.
Right.
So we need more refineries.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's the problem. I know we've reported on this show that there haven't been any new refineries built, not only in the United States in 20 years, but there really haven't been many in the world, have there?
Well, we need them now. We need them as soon as possible.
Well, and somebody said that even if they started building them right now, you know, it takes – those things are big operations. It takes, you know, maybe 3 years to build something like that.
Yes, that's right.
And of course, then we got the NIMBY? Not in my backyard.
Right,
you know,
sure.
No, you know, with the your buddies, the environmentalists, the tree huggers, Joan, those guys, they're gonna fight this tooth and nail, aren't they?
I would think so.
So what are we going to do about it?
Well, it would be nice if we could cut back our consumption.
Yes, okay, Al Gore.
But that may be a little bit naive to think that we're going to do that in a real consistent manner.
You know what we're going to do, John?
Find new sources?
No. We're going to get used to $2 a gallon gas.
Well, and we may have to get used to $3 a gallon gas.
We might. And you know what?
And you know, the Europeans laugh at us.
Yeah.
British laugh at us. You know why?
They were paying as much for a liter of gasoline for years as we were paying for a gallon of gasoline.
Right, which is a liter is like a quart, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about a quart.
Yeah, so they think we're hysterical, and you know, we're complaining about $2. They would love to have $2 to pay for gas.
So, but the challenge that we've got though is that this isn't the kind of thing. These prices and the way it's impacting everything, we didn't have this built into our budgets, and so we've all got to go back and look at and redo our budgets, our financial budgets, and our businesses, and not only our businesses but our personal lives, and you know, pay attention to this. And so this is a kind of a blanket a wet blanket effect on a lot of aspects of the economy. It could really be a downer, couldn't it, John?
That's right, because we can't look at it as a blip. We have to kind of factor it into the way economic growth is going to be seen over the next several years.
Well, yeah, that's right, because over the last, you know, over the last few years, Joan, we've had spikes in gasoline, but we've always said, well, it'll come down in 6 months.
And it always
and we'll be
does.
Okay.
And it always has.
Exactly. And the Fed has actually, Bob McTeer, by the way, folks, who's going to be on the show tomorrow, he's actually said to us that the Fed has watched petroleum so with regard to how inflationary it might be, to the degree of, you know, to see whether it was going to be a sustained increase or whether it was going to be, you know, go up and down. And I remember Bob saying, if oil prices stay high, we may have to start adjusting for inflation. And oops. I think that's where we are right now. Now, he said this.
Yeah,
he said this
right.
A couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But tomorrow, when I talk to him, I'm going to ask him, you know, how much of an impact do you think the increases in petroleum are going to have on inflation, and what's the Fed going to do about it?
And the Fed meets, what, in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, they meet, let me see, they meet on the 28th of June, yeah.
Okay.
So,
well, you can just give us a little preview to what the Fed's going to do.
Well, of course, now, Joan, I gave you the preview in January. I told you when they were going to raise rates. They're going to raise rates at the 28th of January.
Okay.
I predicted that in June, 28th of June. And that'll be their, they'll increase, and that'll be it for the year. I've already told you that. You don't have to have them to tell you what's going on.
We'll see. I wrote this down.
I want to, when we, inflation is the thing that I was just mentioning, and that's the thing that I'm concerned about is petroleum is so pervasive in our economy. It's the oxygen of our economy. And as those prices go up and stay sustained at a high price, then that's the concern I have for inflation. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. The small business advocate Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, you mentioned a minute ago, and I asked what we were going to do about it, and I said we were going to have to just get used to $2 a gallon gasoline, I should say. You also said that we were going to have to step up exploration. Does that mean, Joan, you're going to let us drill in Anwar?
Oh, no, I wouldn't do that.
You know, I saw them talking about this on CNN the other day. They were having basically the same discussion you and I are having right now. And as they were talking about it, CNN had pictures of the little Thumper and Bambi on the tundra. And they were la da 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 da. They were just hopping around all over the little tundra up there. And so they weren't showing, you know, prices of oil or other places where oil is being taken out of the ground and it's not infecting the environment at all. They weren't showing any of those things, like the Alaskan pipeline. They weren't showing any of that. All they were showing was Bambi and Thumper. And the
Let's just go kill all those animals just so we can drive big SUVs.
Well, what makes
what
makes you think drilling in Anwar is going to kill those animals? Where does that come from?
Oh, so that's all a myth?
Yes. Yes, Joan, it is a myth.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
why would it kill them? They don't have to slay the animals.
Doesn't it disturb their habitat?
No.
No?
Not permanently.
They told you this.
Have you seen the Alaskan pipeline?
No, have you?
Yes.
In person?
Not in person. I've seen pictures of it. It's just a pipe that runs along the ground, and the animals can go under it or over it.
Well, it's not just having the pipeline. It's also doing the drilling.
Well, okay, you're there for a year or two, and then you go away.
Yeah, and you've ruined the landscape.
No, you haven't. Oh, this is funny. I love this. Let's talk about what we talked about, refining capacity. What about nuclear power, Joan? Is nuclear power going to help us? We're going to be able to recover from that?
We say there's going to be a renewed push, but again, this is not a quick solution. This is going to take many years to get new plants online.
Not in my backyard.
Well, I was going to say, you know, we can say that people are going to push for nuclear, but I can see the nuclear opponents coming out of the woodwork to stop it.
Well, Joan, if they won't let us drill in Anwar, what makes you think they're going to let us put up another Three Mile Island somewhere?
Well, I think it could be a different they.
Oh, a different they.
It may not always be the same they.
They're buddies, though. What about alternative energy? Oh, let me tell you about this, Joan. You guys mentioned alternative energy this week on the first page. In the last interview with Jack Oldrick, who's written a book on nanotechnology, which is something you guys have reported on, actually.
Yes.
You guys ought to know about this book. It's called The Next Big Thing is Really Small. He says that in the next 3 years, they're going to create solar panels, basically a fabric kind of a solar panel that people can wrap their houses, the roofs of their houses in. I'm assuming it's in an attractive way, so that this fabric will actually convert solar energy into electricity.
Or maybe it's heat.
But he said in the next 3 years, this is nanotechnology now. You know, nano means 1 billionth. So that's where they get these. They get these little bitty. Manipulate at molecular and atomic at the atomic level. They manipulate matter at the atomic level, and so this is something that might help people having that solar fabric.
Well, we need something. We need something new and innovative.
Right. The question is, and you know, Joan, and I think you'd agree with me on this. As long as we have $1 or even $1.50 gasoline, we're not going to get any new innovative technologies. And I don't like paying $2 a gallon of gas for anything for any more than anybody else does. But until it gets that expensive and maybe more, it's going to take that, I think, before we actually get serious about maglev railroads.
That's another thing.
Magnetic levitation railroads.
Well, there's plenty of people in this country that are serious about alternative sources of energy. It's just that the major oil companies have a very strong lobbying force. And when prices are low, they have the strength to keep these innovations from occurring.
Well, and I'm not going to say that you're not right about that, but let's not take... Let's
oh, go
not,
ahead.
No,
go
no,
ahead.
Let's not blame the capitalists for all of that. I mean, you and I haven't exactly been banging on their door saying we want different things.
Yeah, but there are people who have been trying to develop these things, and these roadblocks are put in their way.
Right. Well, and I'm not going to disagree with you. I think you're right about that. But we've got to. But the point is that until Joe average citizen, Joe and Jane average citizen, raise enough groundswell about this, then we're not gonna beat those doors down.
There's waiting lists for the Honda and Toyota hybrid vehicles, so I think people are getting the message.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see how this turns around over the next few years, actually, probably. The fuel cell is something else that's a possibility out there, Joan, that you said that Dow Corning is working on.
Yeah, fuel cells I guess the idea of the fuel cell has been around for quite a long time.
The hydrogen cell.
And I guess the one we're talking about is something called a hydrogen cell, mm-hmm. and that a Dow plant in Texas is working on.
Well, there actually are a number of people working on the hydrogen cell. There's a company, and I wish I could say their name, but in Detroit, there's a company working on. I've interviewed their chairman, who used to be the chairman of GM. What was his name? Robert. I've forgotten his name. Anyway, there are several companies working on this. The question is commercializing it. That's the key.
That's right.
29 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Joan Pryde.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 After. And we're visiting with somebody who always does everything I say. The lovely and talented and often sardonic Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Letters. It's Joan, you always do what I say, don't you?
Me? Oh, sure.
Hey, Joan, I want to come back to something. We skipped over something a minute ago when we were talking about drilling in Anwar. Kiplinger says that there are at least two. We're talking about the petroleum situation, folks. Kiplinger says there are at least two new Gulf of Mexico oil wells that by 2012 we could be getting 6 to 12 million barrels a day out of.
More.
Okay. So let me ask you this question. Is it okay to drill and explore and to pump around the little groupers and the red snapper and the poor little shrimps and all things like that, than it is the Bambi and Thumper?
Oh, the poor little fishies. Yeah, we're hurting them too. I don't like that.
You don't?
I don't go for that.
So you don't like the idea of drilling for new petroleum?
No, we should just go back to the horse and buggy.
I told you, I remember the sardonic part, folks, remember that.
Well, ask a silly question, get a silly answer.
What about fuel efficiency, Joan? Is that going to be something you guys report on that a little bit this week? Are we going to be getting cars that will be more fuel efficient? But we Americans still want their power, though, don't we? We want to be able to pass.
Well, we say that, you know, Detroit is working on more fuel efficient cars. I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens because, this may be just going back to what happened in the 70s. Remember, everybody had the big cars and they had gas guzzlers back then.
That's kind of where we are now, isn't it?
Pardon me?
That's where we are now, isn't it?
That's the point. And back then, people gradually learned to make do with smaller cars. So we may be going through a cyclical change here that people, when they start seeing their gas bills, are going to realize that they don't need the big SUVs. At least many of them will decide that. And maybe they will trade down to a smaller car. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
You know, Joan, one of the things that you don't hear many people talking about is something that's a little bit scary, if you think about it. And, I mean, you agree with me, I think, when I say that that petroleum is the oxygen of the 21st century marketplace.
Right.
And now, you know, recently Shell Oil Company has had to, isn't it Shell who's had to adjust their reserves on their balance sheet? They overestimated, they overstated how much their reserves were in
the
ground.
Right.
Nobody
really
knows how much reserves, how big the reserves are in Saudi Arabia. Nobody, they know maybe, but other people, the marketplace doesn't really know. Did you know that? We don't really know how much oil is in the ground in Saudi Arabia.
Well, that's a scary thought.
Exactly. That's my point. What if they've been lying to us? I don't know if they've been lying, but what if they're almost out? Well, I mean, what if they're 5 years? Let's say they're 10 years from being out of oil. And if they keep pumping the way they are, you know, if they're depleting their reserves, I mean, this is not renewable energy, is it?
Right.
It's a finite amount in the ground. So, I mean, what if 10 years from now they say, you know what, I know you want more oil, but we don't have it. I think, and now I'm starting to sound like your buddies there, Joan, but we've got to focus on other alternatives, don't we?
I think so, sure.
The oil's not going to be there forever. Joan, let's talk about another kind of power. Let's talk about electricity.
All right.
You guys give us a little bit of a warning for this summer. Tell us about that.
Well, we're saying, that there's a moderate but rising risk of a blackout, a big power blackout, and we say in your area, so that could be just about anywhere. We're saying that the Northeast, Midwest, Texas, and California, you pull all those together, that's about a half the country, is facing a big strain.
You know, the blackout last year cost billions and billions of dollars, cost businesses billions of dollars.
Yes.
And since the economy is half small business, then whatever that ticket was, half of it was small business that came out of the small business pocket. And so one of the things that I've been focusing on this year a little bit, Joan, is what you guys talk a little bit about here too, is the importance of backing up, making sure that that you back up your you have some kind of a, of an alternative, some kind of a of an alternative to the regular power grid.
Oh, yeah, you have to.
We've got a power grid challenge in America. I mean, it's working, but we're overloading it like we're overloading our petroleum industry, aren't we?
We are.
So that's something we got to think about, folks. This we depend on this energy, but you know it has to be maintained, and it needs to be. We need to come up with some other alternatives. 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Back, it's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Joan Pryde, Senior Editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, give us your website, please.
Absolutely, www.kiplinger.com.
And that's K-I-P-L-I-N-G-E-R. And Joan, I know you guys have got a lot of things that people can do there for free. They can read articles and see a lot of the things that you have, but they can also subscribe to your outstanding publications, the Kiplinger Letter, which is the one we work out of every week, which comes every week on Friday by email and usually Monday by mail, two different ways, and they can subscribe there. They can also get the three biweekly letters, the tax letter, the California letter, and the agriculture letter, and they can also subscribe to your magazine too, can't they?
That's right. It's called Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And if they don't want to go online to do it, they can call. How do they do that?
They sure can. Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
Now, folks, they you still have the Blassingame 30-day free trial?
Yes, is it still out there? We certainly do.
Okay. And if they hang up on you when you ask them for the Blassingame free trial, don't take it
call
personally.
Back
just
again.
Just call them back again. That'll be fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Joan, you guys, one of the things you guys talk about, let's move on down and talk about security. And identity theft by employees is a growing headache for managers, according to you guys. And I'm not sure, are you saying that employees are applying for a job as somebody else? Is that what's happening?
Well, we don't say that. I don't know. But I would think that maybe they get the job in order to infiltrate the company and
so, yeah.
Get the data.
So you're saying that this is actually, people actually join a company to do like white collar espionage or something like that?
Well, maybe. Well, it's not white collar espionage. They're taking people's identities so they can use their credit cards and things like that.
Wow. So employees, like your fellow employee would part of the reason for coming to work there would be to try to steal your credit cards or to steal your purse.
Well, I don't
or
know if that's why. I mean, I'm just guessing.
Yeah.
Or they're just bad people and they decide one day to start doing that. But it's interesting because I think we're always afraid of, you know, giving out our credit card at the store or online when, in
right.
fact, our biggest problem is a problem that we the employee, can't control. Another
right.
employee getting into the company's database and stealing personal information.
Well, you guys have this neat little chart here. It talks about
yeah.
the different ways that these ill-gotten gains are used. Tell us about that.
I wish your listeners could see it. It's so
it's
really
beautiful.
Looks nice.
You did
and
a good job on that.
And by far the largest thing that are done with stolen identities is to run up charges on credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
And the second largest thing is to run up phone bills.
That's the phone bill doesn't surprise me, but also utility charges.
Right.
And the others get loans and bank accounts and things
like that. Bank accounts, apply for a job, get government benefits.
You know, this ID thing, this stolen ID thing, is really getting becoming a little bit of an epidemic, and
oh,
it's
yeah.
something we all need to be more and more careful about. One of the things that
right.
irritates me is when a restaurant gives me back a credit card receipt, and it's got my full credit card information printed out on it.
Yeah, see, they shouldn't be doing that anymore.
No. They have the capability to black out everything but maybe the last four digits.
Right.
And or everything but the including the last four, and they have that capability, and they ought to be doing that. If your equipment doesn't have that capability, folks, you may be losing a little bit of business because Because, you know, Joan, those tickets get laid. When you sign your check, you just lay it on the table and get up and walk away.
That's right.
Anybody could walk by and pick it up, couldn't they?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Joan, let's move on down and talk about retiree benefits. You guys have got a new edition out on that, don't you?
Right. Well, one thing we're saying, you know, if you look at it, I guess you could look at it from two different ways. On the business side, businesses are finding retiree health benefits, particularly in the healthcare area, just to be sort of a crushing burden in many cases, mm-hmm. and they're being forced to cut back. But we're also looking at it from the employee point of view, suggesting that Kiplinger's Retirement Planning, our publication, can help you with strategies for your own retirement. And that's important not for just employees, but also for business owners as well.
Well, and the thing about it is it's 128 pages, folks. It's only $6, right, Joan? $5.95?
Not bad. Not a bad deal.
Now, how do they get, is the number you gave out, that's not the same number to use, is it?
Right. I'll give you a different number. You can also go to Kiplinger.com, the website, and you should find it there pretty easily.
Okay.
I won't give you the whole long web address because it's just too long. But the toll-free number is 888-547-5464. Ask for operator 28, and the price they will quote you is $5.95 plus shipping.
Right, that number again. Let me give it to you, folks. This is to go and find Kiplinger's retirement planning guide on it to help employees, and that is 888-547-5464. And I want to thank you guys for making that available. That's a nominal. I know what it costs to print these things. That's a nominal price for that kind of information. That's a good service that you guys are providing.
Thank you.
Let's move over and talk about Mr. Bush's agenda, Joan. Mr. Bush has had a couple of tough months, hasn't he?
In
the press.
And that's fair.
His ratings have taken a hit. But he's had a little bit of good news the last couple of days, hasn't he, out of Iraq? Things have settled down a little bit. They got some new leaders over there, don't they?
Well, they got new leadership, and they're moving toward, the whole idea is to move toward turning over the government on June 30th. And they, because of all this new leadership that they've managed to put in place, that will be looks like, you know, will go forward and be on schedule.
Barring some kind of an event that we have no control over and can't predict, his entire future as president of the United States hinges on Iraq, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know if the entire future does. I think a lot of it hinges on the economy as well.
Well, but I mean, do you think the economy is going to change much between now and November?
Well, I don't know.
I don't think it will. I think Iraq's the story. And but you know what? I could be wrong, Joan, right?
No.
Tim Till, stay with us. We'll be right back with Joan Prides. Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, we've got Rich Galen who's going to join us. We're going to talk a little bit of politics. Steve Albianco is one of our technology experts. Don Cooper is going to talk to us about salesmanship. And Bob McTeer, Dr. Robert McTeer, the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas and a member of the Federal Open Market Committee, is going to be with us. He's going to talk to us about the economy and the Fed. I'm going to ask him about my prediction, Joan, about what's going to happen in June with regard to interest rates. I'm going to ask you about that.
I can't wait.
You'll be dying to hear about that, won't you?
Uh-huh.
Joan, let's move over and talk about health care. Anything new there? You guys have a little report there for us, don't you?
Well, this is kind of interesting from an employer point of view, that employers are working harder to improve the quality of health care and checking ratings and avoiding providers that don't offer solid data. And, you know, they realize that getting cheap care isn't going to help an employee if it isn't good care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's not just important to provide it anymore. We're starting to check the quality now, right?
Been cutting costs for so long, mm-hmm. it's not going to do any good to just offer cheap care if the care is bad.
Well, exactly, because, I mean, I've known of people who provided health care for their employees, but it was so cruddy, so bad, that it actually was a demotivating factor. They actually spent money to get bad attitudes out of their employees.
Right, and that's no good if you want to keep good workers.
That's exactly right. So I think that's smart. I think that's good that people and folks. That's a good lesson for all of us. Is as we're offering these benefits, You know, don't let a good deed go unpunished, so to speak. If you're going to provide these benefits, make sure that it's something that will benefit your employees, not just to be able to say that you provide those benefits. Joan,
right.
let's move over and talk about the world business. The economies of Mexico and Canada, according to Kiplinger, is going to have strong years this year.
Right. And of course, then I'll come along with the bad news and say they're going to tail off a bit in 2005.
Yeah.
But we're saying that that's not going to affect our exports too much, which is good.
Right. You guys, and you know, Europe is just in the doldrums. I mean, they're barely able to squeak out any kind of a growth, an economic growth out of their economy. But Japan is kind of becoming one of the little hot spots, isn't it?
That's right. You and I were talking about this the other day, I think.
Japan, I saw recently that Japan reported first quarter growth of like, was it like 5% or something like that?
And I thought they were in a recession.
Well, they weren't. They're not anymore.
Thank goodness.
Japan, you know, and you know, Joan, here's the interesting thing. We've been bad-mouthing Japan for so long. They're still the number two world economy. Do you know that?
Gee. Even with one hand tied behind their back.
Yeah. They're still the number two economy after the United States, and which is impressive. And I saw something else, Joan, that I thought was interesting. And that is, I saw a report this week in the Wall Street Journal where if comparing Japan with China and India, according to this report, if you combine China and India's economy, their combined economy is only one-third of the current Japanese economy.
And that's on a bad day.
That surprised me.
Jeez.
Does that surprise you?
It's amazing.
And even though they've got 18 times more people than Japan, they have one-third the economy. And so they've got Japan and China, even though they're growing, they've got a long way to go.
Right. You mean India, China.
India and China.
Right.
But it's very interesting to see how that's going. And there's good news and bad news for us over there in the Pacific Rim, isn't there, Joan? The bad news is they're going to be competing against us. The good news is, and I think the good news is better than the bad news, they're going to be consuming our stuff.
Buying our imports, which is our exports, which is what we need.
Right. Which is going to be a lot of services too, Joan, not just, as you know.
Jim, don't you also think that the resurgence of Japan is a story that really hasn't been getting covered?
There's no question about it.
I think that's a big story.
You're exactly right.
You've broken it.
We broke it right here on the show, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think you're right about that. Well, you know, Joan, the global economy hasn't been getting the coverage. The war's been getting everything.
That's true.
Hasn't it?
Yes.
Even Mr. Kerry can't seem to break through because of
that. Nobody can.
Hey, Joan, thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Jim.
You're going to be off next week, aren't you?
I sure am.
Hey, Joan, we'll miss you.
I hope I'm getting paid for my day off.
You will. You'll get paid just like you. You know, we have good benefits here on this show.
The same rate. Okay.
The same rate. That's exactly right. Thanks, Joan. Have a good one.
Thank you, Jim.
We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, she'll be back after the vacation. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blasingame. This program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.